So thinking was invented really just a few hundred years ago, right? And it wasn't invented with mathematics. Mathematics is reasoning. But reasoning is incredibly dangerous because when we reason, we don't understand most of the things that we're taking for granted. So the Germans in World War II were extremely logical reasoners about all kinds of horrible things. And in fact, every government finds perfect reasons for justifying what it's doing. So the problem is that in mathematics, it's only about P implies Q, not about whether you're actually attached to the world. So science is where thinking actually got invented, where you're actually trying to wonder whether what you're doing inside of here has any kind of mapping at all to what's out here. And the thing that's been found out over the last 400 years is almost nothing that goes on in here has any kind of mapping to what's going on out there. Right? In other words, almost every piece of common sense that people have had about the world for 100,000 years turned out to be false. Virtually every piece of it. And what that means is that most of our common sense about ourselves is likely to be false. Right? We couldn't be happier than to deceive our own selves. And if you think about what's the end of this in an educational process and what Socrates was trying to get through philosophy, which I don't think you can get there, is that the largest and most important phenomenon in the physical universe for us to study in a deep way that involves real thinking is ourselves. Right? That whole idea is only a little over 100 years old. Relatively recent, and it's in no school. Jerry Bruner got exiled from the United States for doing a curriculum, fifth grade curriculum, called MACOS, Man, a Course of Study, that was a beautifully successful attempt to teach fifth graders cultural anthropology. And the fundamentalists went completely bananas and censured him on the floor of Congress and passed a law that said NSF could not fund any kind of curriculum in elementary school having to do with the social sciences and blah, blah, blah. And Jerry was finally forced to leave and go to Oxford. This is our greatest thinker in cognitive psychology, could not actually even stay in the country. That happened just a few years ago, and it would absolutely happen today. So what the back to basics people want is to teach, instead of teaching us about ourselves, it wants to teach children about the way their culture is and why it's the right culture, right? And so if you can contrast those two ideas, again, you have a training scheme instead of an educational scheme. So I think what we want to do is, with our limited resources, but our great zeal, we want to let the kids do stories. But we don't have to spend any time dealing with that because the children are going to do it anyway. And I think we want to take a leaf from Martin Luther's book. So Martin Luther benefited greatly from being thrown into prison for his initial set of protests. And I've often wished that I would get thrown into prison for a period of time, and with the memory of what Luther was able to accomplish. So when he was sitting in prison there, he didn't have any distractions. And his desire was not to create Protestantism, not at all. He was trying to reform the Roman Catholic Church. And one of the things that he wanted to reform was this problem of having intermediaries between human beings and the God that they believed in. And so he thought one of the ways of, he didn't want to have priests have the same role, in other words. And so one of the things that he pondered was, boy, if we could just get people in Germany to read the Bible for themselves. Of course, everybody was illiterate. And so he thought, while he was in prison there, he thought, what is the trade-off between trying to teach everybody in Germany Latin? So he pondered that for a while. This is kind of what we're doing when we think about math and science, right? It's a kind of Latin. It's not stuff that's spoken every day. And then he thought, what about translating the Bible into German? And the German of that day was a bunch of dialects, because Germany was a bunch of regions, more than a single center. And the dialects were court language and farm language, and weren't really set up there. So Luther, while he had all this time in jail, he decided, okay, maybe I can invent a German. I'll take these stronger grammatical principles from Latin, and I'll try and infuse them into these dialects, and I'll make something that I can translate the Bible into. And so he invented the language that actually Germans speak today, and then translated the Bible into it. So I think of Martin Luther as one of the first great user interface designers, right? Because he basically said the first thing you have to do in user interface design is start with where the user is. Right? And so the thing that the user had was an interest in God and the ability to speak some German. And so the question is, what can I do that's more formal that will link us up to a literature about all of this stuff? And so if we think about what we're doing with Squeak, we have a particular kind of dynamic paper that we're dealing with. And the children can do anything on it that they can do with paper, plus they can do a bunch more. And they can learn a little bit by animating stories, and that's good. That should be some part of the thing. But the one thing that we've got is something that no other medium has ever had in history, and that is the ability to bring this advanced forms of thinking down 10 years, an entire decade, from stuff that is not done well in high school and college all the way down into elementary school, where the children can actually grasp onto it. And I think we all saw something tremendously inspiring, which has been done a few times over the last few years and has not been sustainable, which is the attempt to get very young children involved in this stuff. This is the key to it. We have stayed away from it except for a few brief forays, because it requires teachers that are especially motivated and especially thinking about the way young children think and the kinds of things that they can do. But the key to this ultimately is to be able to get this stuff all the way down into kindergarten and first grade. We picked fifth grade because the children, fifth graders, can make up for a lot of let me say that a different way. Children can directly help the teacher in fifth grade with what actually is being done. And so fifth grade is fairly good, although the children have already made some commitments to the way they think the world is. So what I'd like to encourage everybody to do is, when you're thinking about making curriculum, think about what a powerful idea actually is. Try and identify powerful ideas that you think are particularly important. Try and understand what those powerful ideas are in the child's world. This is something that Dewey was particularly good at. Montessori was a genius at. Montessori, by the way, invented toys. The way her idea was to take a powerful idea and embed it in a toy. And the reason she's our patron saint is because if the kids didn't take that thing as a toy, she would pull it out of her Casa Bambini. She would not try and force the children to learn that toy. Because her idea was, if the kids can see it as a toy and it has these side effects, then you're in business, because the child will play with it for their own reasons. And that's what we've got to do. So basically, when we do test something with children, we want to see if they can see it in a playful fashion. And once they start playing with it, if it has these extra things embedded in it, we're gradually building up a new brain. Right? And this is the way to think about what it actually, the revolution of the last 400 years has been. We still have the same brains we had 100,000 years ago, and yet we can fly to the moon and generate nuclear power and feed the world. How did we do that? And the answer is, we made a new brain out of language and structural ideas. That's the new brain that we're supposed to get when we get educated. Right? If we don't get that new brain, we're not being educated, we're just being trained. So I just like to encourage everybody to think about that distinction every time you do something for a child. And if the child doesn't think it's fun, try a different way. Thank you.